Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Whichever it is for you, here's the Morning Scramble
with Claire and Eric,
a Z102.9 podcast.
Enjoy.
I was day blind for a second.
Day blind?
I'm like, is it Thursday?
Or is it
Wednesday?
Wednesday?
Because yesterday we were at 351st, and I typically would play this song, right?
We didn't wait on Wednesday.
And we didn't have that yesterday just because we dove right into Broken Hearts Ball.
Oh, goodness. You kind of forget the days of the week, especially when the holiday is right in the middle.
Yeah. It was kind of a holiday. I mean, a holiday. We still worked, right? It was a holiday.
No, yeah. Not
but
like
a, it's not like an office holiday.
Right.
It's not in like, your employee handbook.
Like Halloween, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
There's celebrations. There's things that you do to celebrate the holiday, to mark the holiday.
You got
it. Yeah, still kind of.
So Thursday, huh?
Throws you off.
Thursday it is.
Yeah, I started my morning with a chocolate-covered strawberry.
Back up, what?
Yeah! That could be a breakfast food, right?
Did you bring just one, or had you had that at the house?
I bought a package.
And
then I finished the leftover.
Wait, you gave yourself chocolate-covered strawberries?
Well, I got...
This wasn't a Valentine for you?
It was a Valentine's for my my family.
For the house.
Like the house dessert was a chocolate-covered strawberry. Please take one. And then it was like a package of six.
Sure. And you only have four in the house.
Yes. But so there's leftovers.
Two. The adults get two.
Yes.
Right? Yes. One, two, three, four. Kid. Perfect.
Kid. And the kids didn't really like them.
What?
I don't know what's wrong with my children. I think it's because it was like, oh, it's a dessert because it's chocolate. But wait a second. She's trying to feed us fruit.
But strawberry, in the fruit spectrum, strawberry is way into the dessert side of fruit.
Eric, I know. Don't need to tell me.
Okay.
Yeah, no, the kids are just like, it's not cake.
I suspect something.
It's not ice cream. It's fruit.
Hidden behind chocolate.
Yeah, I knew what I was doing.
Good on you.
It's like, it's a very Valentine-y dessert.
It's a very Valentine-y dessert.
I saw it on the shelf and I was like, yeah, we should have that.
Of all the romantic things, champagne and strawberries or champagne and chocolate-covered strawberries are like it.
Yes.
Right? Unless you're going down the oyster caviar road, which is also very expensive and slimy.
So slimy.
But think of all the other fruits and confections that could have been put together, but yet it ended on chocolate and strawberry.
Yeah, nobody does melon, like chocolate-covered melon.
There was, that company might be around, what was it? They do like fruit bouquets, and those were covered in chocolate, and they did everything.
Everything was dipped in chocolate?
Pineapple, melon.
Dipped in chocolate?
Honeydew, musk. Yeah. Banana in chocolate?
Banana in chocolate, yes. Yeah. I can't go melon chocolate.
You don't see it very often. Yeah, melon chocolate.
Chocolate-covered banana? That's like, what, a monkey tail?
Oh, that's right.
That's a dessert.
I do enjoy chocolate and orange together. Those are good flavors.
I guess maybe I should open myself up to chocolate and melon. Just seems like it's not going to work.
Would you go chocolate pineapple?
Yes, even that seems plausible to me.
How about chocolate watermelon?
See, no.
Chocolate grapefruit.
No.
Chocolate lemon.
No. Like the chocolate, the acid of the lemon's going to kill the
chocolate. But the chocolate orange is okay.
How does that work?
I don't know.
We got to know more about science. And
end of sentence.
We should probably know
that
more.
Covers all of it.
We should probably know more than we do.
Also, end of sentence. You're right.
Safe statement.
We should probably know more. Before we say more is what you need to add
to that. Is
that
a new tagline to this show?
We should probably know more.
The Morning Scramble. We should probably know more.
Knowing just enough to get by.
Just enough. It's all you need, really.
It is, yes. Asking the tough questions.
Oh, Lordy.
About chocolate, Valentine confectionery.
Right.
Yes, with fruit.
It works. And I did not realize that this was a passing that I completely missed. It's a little bit out of the purview of,
celebrity death
of celebrity, but not out of the purview of pop culture. This past Saturday, Bill Post passed away at the age of 96, and you might know him as the inventor of Pop-Tarts.
Bill, Mr. Post, did the Pop-Tart.
Now you're going to think, oh, it's from Post cereal.
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
But it's not. Bill worked at Kellogg's. No relation to Post.
That feels like he was a traitor at family meals.
It really, really does. He was no relation, but he did kind of copy the idea because Post actually had the idea first, but they called them country squares.
That's not going to sell on a box.
It didn't really work. So no. Bill kind of had the idea and led a team to come up with the concept of Pop-Tarts after the pop art craze was going on.
Interesting.
So he kind of pulled on that. The marketing was better. It was way more successful
branding. The name was inspired by pop art.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't have thought that in a million years.
Yeah, because they're little fruit tarts. And then it became like a breakfast thing.
I'm like just it pops out of your toaster and it's tart flavored. That's where I thought the name came from.
Well, I mean, essentially, yes. But really, he was like, you know what? This movement's kind of trendy. We should capitalize on that.
Good for him.
Which is so, so smart. Unfortunately, he's not going to live to see Jerry Seinfeld's upcoming movie about the creation of Pop-Tarts.
Also, what?
There's a movie Jerry Seinfeld has made. It's called Unfrosted, the Pop-Tart Story. It hits Netflix in May.
This is like the hot Flamin' Hot Cheetos movie.
Exactly. Which exactly.
Maybe we need to watch both of those independently while eating the product they're promoting, shall
Just
we?
Just to understand exactly where it came from.
That is 3D movie enjoyment right there.
Watch and feed?
Watch and feed. Tasto-vision.
I can do that.
Yes, please.
I'm down.
Lay it all out there.
Brace yourself.
What's on your mind?
It's mind-blowing, isn't it?
Time for some brain show and tell.
What's on your mind?
I am so confident that we have the same thing on our mind, but yeah. I want you to go first.
Okay. I am all confidence. So go ahead.
Just to see
You're
if I can...
You're going to just make sure...
Oh,
I see you, Dancing Eric Hansen. I see you.
What's on your mind today?
Well, okay. What's on my mind is a little bit of yesterday because you and I had such a great morning at our Broken Hearts breakfast.
Yes.
Did we not?
We did.
High atop 351st, we got to watch the sunrise on downtown Cedar Rapids, which was a beautiful vantage point. And then within the room itself, we had five ladies together around a table who then by the end of the morning had become friends and were swapping phone numbers.
I've heard the phrase sisterhood before. That was it.
It was just so cool.
Yes.
And it was just so cool to be a part of, just to watch. We shared a really important story too. We met Cheryl and Cheryl survived domestic violence. She was assaulted not long ago. Within a month or so. And she was just physically healed enough that she's like, I deserve this. Mm-hmm. Emotionally healed enough to say, I'm going to reach out. I know like my story isn't as silly.
I'm dating twins and the same ex-wife got them both.
It's a completely different story, but I love myself enough. I'm going to put myself out there. And so we talked to her. We shared her story a little bit and it was like, oh my goodness. We were both touched. We were both touched by the story.
I was emotionally spent by 11 o'clock yesterday morning.
Seriously. Yeah. And we got a chance to talk about Waypoint Services and all that they do in our community. Because if you are somebody who has been or is in a relationship where you don't feel safe, they are here for you and they will help take care of you. And then it was kind of weird because the rest of the day of course, Valentine's Day, but it's also Ash Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So I end up going to church and kicking off the season of Lent. Where, you know, we're talking about like the things that we're going to do. And as a church, they said that we're going to have, you know, if you want to do a little bit of almsgiving, save some money, give money to the poor or to the...
Is that called tithing?
Tithing.
Yes.
Yes. We're going to focus all of our efforts and all of our energies by donating to Waypoint. And I'm like, oh
what,
my.
What?
Yes. Waypoint
That's
services.
A little freaky.
It is so weird. I was like, okay, universe, gotcha loud and clear.
Holy cow.
So they handed out little cards.
Yes.
There's a bunch of donations that they are looking for. Move-in items like bed sheets and pillowcases and kitchen towels and tablecloths, stuff like that. Childcare things like construction paper and markers and pencils and paint and all those things. Cleaning products. And then just gift cards. Like if you want just monetary donation.
Oh, nice.
Give them some.
All for Waypoint?
Yes. All for Waypoint.
I'm emceeing their event in March. I've been doing it the last 4 years.
Five years. Okay. So
yeah.
this is my focus. It's like, this is what I want to do.
Yes.
Some good.
You and I have absolutely not the same thing on our minds at all. Except for the word Lent.
Oh?
Yes. Remember your Lenten journey.
I am going to stay true to my word. I will also bring you fish fries on Friday.
Your Lenten journey is to help me find fish fries for fish and chips.
I haven't forgotten
Correct?
That. Correct? Yes.
Okay. I feel like I owe you for that, but I don't want to break church code. Can I return a favor? Is that allowed during Lent?
Wait, you're going to tell me about something else?
Yes. Does that count or does that erase your Lenten journey?
No, it's still suffering. No, that's your journey.
It's the suffering part.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily the you've given me something and you're not getting any return. I just want to make, because I don't know the rules. So I want to.
I think you're doing it.
I'm a Lenten rule guy.
You're big into rules.
Okay. Here's what I'm offering up.
Okay.
If you'll take it.
I'm very interested.
In exchange for you letting me know where I can find fish and chips.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to plug you into all the farm to table dinners.
Oh,
we went to one last night first of all, as
this, no.
What?
No.
What?
Farm to table
yes,
dinners?
Yes, this counts.
No.
Why not?
This isn't a part. What?
Wait, hold on a second. Why doesn't it count?
Because it's what you want. This isn't for me.
I'm helping you find something you don't know you want to go to yet.
You didn't even know you wanted it.
Now you want it. Oh, wait, you have to want it? I misunderstood how one works.
This is another thing for Eric to eat.
Yes. What's the problem? I thought you would actually accept this. No? Okay.
Nope. Tell me more.
Off the table. No.
Well, you know what? Maybe I should get interested.
I wanted to, wow you with, I think there are a lot more in our neighborhood that are going on.
You do, you already
we
know more
about. We fell into one last night for Valentine's Day in Johnson County, and they do a monthly farm-to-table dinner. I didn't even know this place existed.
In February?
Yeah, that was Valentine's Day, so they source, if they can grow it, great. If not, they work with other farms. But we had.
I thought that was a seasonal fall thing.
We had a farm to table Valentine's dinner last night. Bib lettuce, locally made. As far as the dressing on top of it, then we had a lobster bisque. Clearly, the lobster not grown here.
I was gonna
but sourced as fresh as they could source it, right?
Uh huh.
And then we had a lovely beef tenderloin. That's local.
Yeah.
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 So it was fantastic. So may I clue you in on farm to table dinners in the coming months and weeks?
I think you're missing the point, but sure if you want.
I'm not missing my point.
I'm making the point I want to make.
I'm not missing a single point at all. I'm also not missing a meal.
I can't wait to follow you on your journey.
State of Iowa requesting a presidential disaster declaration for 18 Iowa counties following those storms from early January. The funding has been requested under the FEMA's Public Assistance Program. Includes a number of counties in our area, Blackhawk, Cedar, Johnson, Jones, Lynn, and Washington. In addition to the millions of DOT dollars spent to clear area roadways, we just had that story yesterday, during that record-breaking snowfall from January 8th to the 14th, an estimated both federal and state looked at this $8.1 million worth of damage somehow to the state of Iowa. That's prompting the request for those funds from a presidential declaration for a disaster. Sports! All right, history could be made in Iowa City tonight. There's always reasons why it wouldn't be, but those are horrible to think about.
Don't
and I'm not
it.
Even going to say them out loud. Iowa Hawkeye superstar Caitlin Clark just 8 points away from setting the NCAA women's career scoring record. She's averaging 32 points per game this season. Iowa taking on Michigan tonight. Ticket prices also could set a record. Seats at the game yesterday, there's two ways to look at. I mean, there are so many secondary ticket markets. The story I'm reading right now, by the way, came from a national news service. This isn't even out of Iowa City. This is how big this is. Other news services across the United States are following this story.
That's crazy.
So they use TickPick as their source for secondary market tickets. Okay. The average ticket right now is $394 to get into that game tonight. Now, the University of Iowa has an agreement with a company called SeatGeek.
Yeah.
So you legit go through the Iowa website. It will take you to that website, and they're vouching for each other. I just did a search there this morning. I found three for $191 apiece, which in my opinion is not bad.
Not bad at all, especially considering what the other markets are
exactly.
doing.
Exactly. However, the most expensive, at least through SeatGeek, right now I found, this is per ticket, $4,374. They are not courtside, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the most expensive through the authorized reseller of the University of Iowa. 4,374 for one.
Okay, because I was doing the unauthorized stuff yesterday.
You were kind of almost like you were in the gray web, not quite the dark web.
No, it wasn't dark.
But weren't you finding prices of like $10,000 or more?
Yes, it was $13,006, which is insane.
Oh my God.
But these were courtside tickets on the not dark web, but you know, maybe gray.
The gray web.
Gray web.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't spend that money.
Don't go there if you don't have to. I felt I had to on my work computer.
Is ask around your office, find out who has Peacock, borrow their password.
Yeah.
And log in 7 o'clock tonight, Iowa, Michigan.
Borrow their password.
Borrow the Peacock.
I thought you were going to suggest a viewing party, perhaps pop some popcorn.
No, nobody's coming. I'm doing it, Mama. Wait.
My shirt's already off. We're doing it. Eric,
I
stop.
Mean, you can come over, but my shirt's off. I just wanted to know that.
Good heads up.
Eric style. What's got me feeling all right, not only Hawkeye women's basketball, best burger in Iowa. They do this every year, the Iowa Beef Council, along with the Cattlemen's Association. This is year 15 of the contest. And the entry is so easy. It's all based on all you got to do is make a recommendation, and then they tally, and whoever has the most, then there's a voting component, right? Okay. So iabeef.org. But if you remember, I told you about 6:05 this morning, asterisk. If you are submitting and you've lost before, or you're coming in new, right? Just be aware they are allowing winners from the past 14 years to re-enter.
Oh my.
Typically, if you win, you can't do again. I think that's the rule. You won once, you can't win again.
But wouldn't that be, this is a good idea.
Now this is
though,
the 15th year.
Because this is the best of the best. Of
everybody's
the best.
Back in and anybody can re-enter. And they're going for the top 10. So just know that the competition's a little stronger. But maybe that'll help you up your game if you've never won before or if you're thinking about entering.
I'm not proud of my reaction. My immediate reaction is just saliva.
When I just say best burger, it's Pavlovian, right?
It is.
The rule includes 100% beef. Can't be a combination.
Mm-hmm.
Anything on a bun or bread product. Toppings can be anything.
Okay.
I think ingredients, too, minus the 100% beef, can also be anything. I'm sure you can put spices and things
in the
meat.
Oh, yeah.
That's all you have to do to qualify, and then go to iabeef.org, follow more of the instructions for best burger in the state of Iowa. That's got us feeling all right.
And now, a pop culture update we'd like to call Z's Sleaze with Claire.
Our top story this morning comes to us from correspondent Danson Eric Hansen. Marvel revealed the new Fantastic Four, and with more on this story, we go to Danson Eric Hansen.
Yes. Thank you, Claire. I'm here in the field, which the field is my Facebook feed. And I'm still looking with a magnifying glass to look for any clues that were released yesterday about mid-morning when Marvel put out a Happy Valentine's Day card, which included an illustration of the four actors who will be playing the Fantastic Four coming up in 2025.
Pedro Pascal is Mr. Fantastic. Vanessa Kirby is the Invisible Woman. Joseph Quinn is the Human Torch. And Ebon Moss Bachrock is the Thing.
I looked at them because outside of Zaddy, the other ones, like, I knew their faces, but I had to remember other things they'd been in.
What? Zaddy.
Pedro Pascal, Zaddy.
Yeah, no, that's true. It's
right?
True.
It's Zaddy.
Yeah.
Here, something I love about right now on the card. None of them have their powers except for the Thing, the guy that turns into rocks.
You weren't really sure who was playing who.
No, I knew who was who if you know the Fantastic Four. It's just, it's simple. I think what I like about it, it's kind of a throwback to, like, it's a family that just happens to have superpowers. Yeah. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
They're a group of superheroes who have gained their powers from cosmic rays during a mission in space, and we don't know anything else other than it's going to hit theaters July 25th, 2025.
I mean, we do know this is the third time Marvel has tried to reboot the concept. Mm-hmm. There have been a couple other iterations. We also know that John Krasinski is not playing the Reed Richards character, which he did have a small part in one of the Doctor Strange movies.
So we do know that.
We know that he's not coming back.
Okay.
Other than that, typically the villain is Doctor Doom, which is a really good Marvel villain, but we have no casting information there. Also, how does this weave into the MCU?
We don't know.
Nobody knows.
Oh, we are going to find out July 25th, 2025, though.
I'll be in line.
Yes, you will. If you have something and you're coming up a little short on funds, you can do one of those, you know, like GoFundMe mm-hmm. pages, Or you can just maybe purchase tickets to a Drake concert, make a sign, and Drake will probably pay for it because that seems to be what he is doing right now. Drake made another fan's dreams come true in St. Louis Tuesday night. Fan was holding up a sign that says, "Please help me pay for my surgery." And Drake saw the sign and said, "I don't know what kind of surgery you need, sir. I really don't, but I'm going to let you know. From me to you, St. Louis love, we're going to take care of whatever that surgery is." And everyone's like, "What? Oh, that's crazy." There is one condition, though.
Yes.
And the condition is the next time Drake comes back to St. Louis, this guy has to come to the show. So you get your surgery and you come back healthy.
Four times he's done this now?
Yes.
3 or 4? Okay.
Yes, and it's a number of different things that he's helped people out with. But
has he?
That's what I want to see. I don't have the stories on the follow through.
Somebody needs to do a follow up. And is Drake actually doing this? Or is it just it's fun in the moment and the room loves it and then they never talk again?
Yeah, I don't want them to be empty promises. I want some follow through on these. And if it's a life saving surgery.
Exactly.
Or is it like cosmetic procedure? You know, like what level of surgery are we talking about here?
I'm just getting a little tummy tuck.
I hope it's more than that.
Thanks to Drake.
I hope. And this is so huge. Usher just finished his 2-year Las Vegas residency, released a brand new album, scheduled to go on tour, and, you know, the Super Bowl halftime performer this year. That's a lot. And then after the Super Bowl, he goes and gets married. I mean, oh my goodness. We haven't heard a lot from Usher, but he's back in a big, big way. Not only doing the music thing, but also getting into possibly a little bit of TV. Usher is looking to form a drama series based on his body of work. All of Usher's
like
music.
Like the songs would inspire the stories each week?
Exactly.
Interesting.
Usher's music inspiring a drama series. He said, "My 30-year catalog has resonated with so many people no matter where they are in their lives. He's going to be working to bring the music to life. I hope this resonates with you and the way that my music continues to."
It's an interesting way to look at it. I remember this came up with Avril Lavigne and Skater Boy.
Yeah.
And they're going to make that into a movie. Like, the songs are mini stories for a lot of artists.
Totally. So it could be little vignettes or something. He said it's going to be set in Atlanta. It's going to focus on Black love, individuals looking to find a place to call home. So we'll see exactly where it's being shopped around right now. It's not like it's locked in stone. You're going to find it on Peacock or whatever.
Right.
It's just here's the concept. And we're going to start making these stories and shop it out and see where it lands.
If that becomes an anthology. Who's the guy who does FX all the time? The Murphy guy?
Oh, yeah. Ryan Murphy?
He should do this, right?
Yes.
An artist a year. Taylor Swift. The songs, the stories.
Little vignettes.
Yes.
Of the stories behind. I mean, that's like
this
music videos.
This thing could run for billions of years. Just pick a new artist every year.
That's a pretty cool concept.
It's a great. And why haven't they done that yet?
I know. Kick it off, Usher. Go. I love it. That's what we like to call.
Z's Sleaze.
You know, I want to be a mall Santa.
Yeah.
I got the shape and the beard.
You are so close.
Now I've got the mailbag. I know what Santa feels like.
Exactly. We have had so many messages coming to us via scramble@kzia.com. Want to make sure we get to this one because we've got a little bit of a timeline that we need to, a little bit of a time crunch.
Who's writing to us?
Well, this is from Lori at the Cedar Rapids Museum of Art.
Dear Scramble,
Lori writes, "Hi, Claire and Eric. We have recently purchased, partially with donated funds, these pairs of Enchroma glasses. Enchroma glasses are for people who are red-green colorblind. I listen to the Morning Scramble on my way to work every morning, and I have come to find that producer Ben is colorblind. We were just talking about it this week at the Gowntown Collection."
He's giving us descriptions of prom dresses, and we ask him, and then we always go, "Oh, wait, you're colorblind." I mean, it's a pretty good description, but we never quite know if we can rely on the color he thinks he sees.
Exactly. So she goes on to ask, "How would you guys like to come to the Cedar Rapids Museum of Art and have producer Ben be the first one to test out these new glasses? He would see some vibrant artwork, and then we would have a test subject." They haven't used the glasses yet because they haven't found anyone who's colorblind to test them out on.
Are there different levels of color blindedness?
Now, here's that's the question. She said it's for people who are red, green, colorblind. And I know that Ben has told us that he is colorblind, but I don't know it. And I didn't know that there was types.
I've got a friend who's red, green, because she always insists on driving because she gets car sick. We're like, but you can't read the stoplights.
So how does that?
She knows which one's where.
I just know.
But I think she sees just gray.
And didn't Clutch say this week that she is also colorblind, but she's yellow.
Yellow-green or
yellow,
something?
Yellow-green colorblind?
Simple answer here.
Okay, so we need to actually ask Ben.
Ben! Ben!
Come here.
Come in. Come in.
In the room.
Get your boom in this room, man.
Get your boom in here right now.
You're colorblind, right?
Partially colorblind.
Partially.
Yeah.
What do you mean partially?
Yeah. Can you put a name on it? Like what colors don't you see?
I see all the colors as far as I know, but I'm not very good at telling the difference between like different shades of colors and stuff.
Interesting.
Hmm.
So if I do like those colorblindness tests on Google,
yeah,
I can't see most of the shapes inside of those.
Oh gosh.
Those are real things?
Did I make up this story? You went to the eye doctor. And the eye doctor was doing a test on you, and then she just like said, forget it.
Yeah, she...
That's a great eye doctor!
It was like the same test that you can find on Google, and
yeah.
It was like in a book.
Yeah.
And she opened the book. I could see the first one, and then starting at the second page, I couldn't see it. And after like a couple tries, she just closed the book and said, we're done.
Did she?
She gave up on you.
She gave up on you.
I guess
that doctor broke Hippocratic oath.
Your job is to heal all. It's not heal all, but
she's
Ben.
Like, I can't fix him. There's nothing more.
He's
I
beyond
can do.
Hope. That's not the right sort of eye doctor.
That is a story right there.
Okay,
that is a Lifetime movie.
I feel like we have two parts to this. I do want to send him to the museum. I'd love to try these glasses out.
She said, let me know if that would work. If you'd be interested, it would be fun to see if the glasses enhance his appreciation for the artwork that we have. The only thing is that they need to get this done sooner rather than later. So she's thinking like before the end of the month.
Well, okay. So I feel like we need to find not your eye doctor, but another eye doctor who cares.
No one, offense to your eye doctor.
One we can trust.
One eye doctor we can trust.
Or just one who's willing to put in the time to finish the test.
Does your eye doctor also whisper the letters to you as you're supposed to be reading them on your own? I don't like your sketchy eye doctor.
Should you be driving?
That's a good question.
We'll drive to the museum.
I can see the traffic signals, yes.
Okay.
I can see red and green and yellow.
They gave up on you mid-colorblind test. Well, we're done. Thanks for coming in.
Isn't that just telling?
Maybe. I don't know. Okay. So, out of the mailbag, Cedar Rapids Museum of Art.
Partially colorblind. I'm going to say you're all the way colorblind, Ben.
If they gave up on colorblind testing, they're like, you have it all. We need to drill this one down a little bit.
Okay, first I want to test him to see if he is indeed red, green, colorblind.
Yes, please.
And then we need to respond to Lori and say, we're coming.
I think regardless of the caliber of colorblind, we should see how the glasses work no matter what.
Agreed.
Right? Take advantage.
Because
how
science.
Cool that the art museum lined this up.
It's art and science coming together in a beautiful way. I think this is great.
This is fantastic. Okay, thank you for sending us an email to the Morning Scramble email bag. We appreciate it.
We always appreciate it. Anytime you have a comment, question, suggestion, if you want us to try out glasses, we're here for you.
Scramble at KZIA.com. Also, if you know a good eye doctor, because the one that Ben has is not good.
No.
Claire and Eric can't agree.
All right.
So it's up to you. It's Jury in a Hurry on Z102.9.
Submitted by listener Linda.
Yeah, Linda gave us a case. She wasn't sure we could actually argue it or not, but she does think that people are going to have a take on it and would definitely be interested in calling in. The question is, your spouse your best friend? Conversation came up between her and her husband. She mentioned to her husband that her best friend was going to be dropping off something to the house. And he shot back to her, I thought I was your best friend. And she said, I proceed to tell him that best friends listen. And he's been known to tune me out more than a few times.
Whoa.
Now, they've been married for a number of years, but this topic has been brought up and it's been a good source of conversation for the two of them in their house. And then she proceeded to take the conversation to her, who she says is her best friend, not her husband. And she asked her best friend, who is her best friend. She asked her husband, who his best friend was, and he immediately shot back a list of people who were not the friend. So she said, me, my best friend, and my best friend's husband all say a best friend is not your spouse.
While the husband of Linda believes the best friend is the spouse.
Best friend is a spouse.
Yes.
And in being upset that everybody is turned against him, he has now decided that the cat is his best friend. So, ha!
I'll show you at all how this is going to go down. It is a funny debate.
Fine. Then the cat's my best friend.
I can't wait to hear justification on both sides because I'm waffling.
I am too.
But I'm landing on your spouse has to be one of your best friends for sure.
Yes.
You are committed to spending the rest of your life with that person. You're seeing them at their very, very best.
You're compatible in all the ways that you want to be compatible with a best friend.
Very, very worst. There's nudity involved. There's sickness
medical.
And health and
yeah.
medical.
All the stuff.
And I'm a big believer in the power of language. I don't like that people use amazing all the time, right? You've made it less impactful. Mm. To me, best friend is a one slot. Best friend. I have one of them. You are my best. You can't get better than best, can you? Right? You're my number one friend. You're my best friend.
Oh.
So
oh.
shouldn't that be your spouse?
Mr. Language.
So I'm staying. Just call me Mr. Rand. No, Rand McNally is the Atlas person.
Mr. Rand McNally. And you are not Mr. Atlas.
I am not Mr. Atlas. No.
I am no, no. But
Mr.
That,
Webster,
okay.
Merriam Webster. My name is Merriam Webster.
Mr. Merriam.
Best is a category that cannot be topped. Thus, yes, a spouse is a best friend. I am on the side of Linda's husband.
That was well argued.
Yes. How can it
well
not
reasoned.
Be? I'm kind of giving you a backwards argument, okay. but how could it not be a best friend?
Okay. I'm going to argue the opposite.
Sure.
Although I know that I have made that statement in the past. A spouse is like a best friend, I would argue. A spouse is a spouse, and a best friend is somebody who is not in that position. I think the spouse designation automatically assumes that, yes, we are best friends. We are spouses. We are simpatico.
Mm-hmm.
But a best friend is a different person in your life who you can turn to outside of that relationship.
So it's a different relationship.
Yes, it's a different word. So it's a different relationship.
If I had to look at it right now, my best friend is Shannon, right? My spouse.
Yes.
Shannon's best friend is not me. I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
For a fact. I have a little bit of an issue with that.
Huh.
Just because of the word best. But I'm holding true. A spouse, yes, is a best friend. So sorry, Linda. I think you're wrong. I'm with Linda's husband.
Okay, you're
I'm
Linda's
sorry.
Husband.
Linda's wrong. Linda's best friend is wrong. Linda's best friend's husband, who has other best friends, all three of you are wrong.
Okay.
It's me, Linda's husband, and the cat who say yes.
You're going to throw the cat in there?
It's our new best friend.
The cat really evens things out a bit. Okay, I am Team Linda.
We're the three amigos.
A spouse is not your best friend. You are Team Linda's husband.
Yes.
A spouse is the best friend.
Spouse is best friend.
But we are clearly at odds here, and we need you to tell us who is right and who is wrong.
I'm very curious to see where these phone calls are going to go.
Who's going to win their case today, Claire or Eric? Jury in a Hurry on Z102.9.
Hi, Jury in a Hurry. What do you think? Is a spouse a best friend? Yes or no?
I would say yes, but just as important, you need a ride or die.
Somebody else.
So, you kind of need a sidekick at the same time.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of
Absolutely.
Sense.
It's
categorized as best or not best. That's kind of where we're getting caught up here.
Best friend and a bestie.
A ride or die. I love how you put it. Thank you for your vote. I got to move on. Hi, Jury in a Hurry. Pretty simple question. What do you think? A spouse, a best friend? Yes or no?
No.
No.
It's a different person. Okay. We see your side. Thank you, juror.
Thank you. Hi, Jury in a Hurry. A spouse, is it a best friend? Yes or no?
No, because you tell your best friend everything, and some things I wouldn't tell my spouse.
Whoa! I take the vote.
I'll say, Claire gets the vote, and I want to talk to him for another Jury in a Hurry.
And good luck to you.
Jury in a Hurry, simple question. Is a spouse a best friend? Yes or no?
My best friend has been around way longer than my spouse. I'm Team Linda.
Team Linda.
Team Linda.
Also, if you think about it.
True, yeah.
Thank you, caller. Moving over to this phone line. Hi, is a spouse a best friend? Yes or no?
Yes.
Hesitant, yes.
Yes, but.
There's an asterisk.
Let me explain. Okay, so I think in the early years, like up until you're about in your golden years, you are Team Claire. And then once you hit the golden years, and if you're still in that amazing relationship of marriage, or, you know, if you can continue that marriage on, then that becomes your team.
you're in it for the, I mean, it's the long haul.
But yeah,
at
ideally,
that point,
yeah,
then. Yes. Because it's kind of coming down about, it might be you two left, right? Mm-hmm. It's just
you're
the last two.
So dark, you
but
guys.
But it makes total sense.
I get what you're saying, but it's dark.
It's beautiful. It's not dark.
God.
Thank you for joining in to Jury in a Hurry. Going to this call, is your spouse your best friend? Yes or no?
I'm going to have to say no. Your spouse gets upgraded from best friend when they become your spouse.
It's so one above best friend.
Ooh, it's even, that's a good argument there.
I love that take.
Thank you,
thank
juror.
You very much. Looking at a 4-2 on no to yes. Is
correct.
That what you got? Let's go to this call. Is a spouse a best friend? What do you think, caller?
I have to go with Claire on this.
All right. Thank you. Welcome aboard, Team Linda. Woo! We're
Team Linda
shirts.
And Team Claire. Heard so many arguments for and against, but we would love to hear your response. Okay, what do you think? Is a spouse a best friend? Yes or no?
My spouse is my best friend. I am very blessed to have a wife that listens to me, that I can listen to, that we share everything with.
That's exactly what I meant to say.
That is a yes. And yes, he should have probably been on your team.
Yes, that's you should have made the arguments for me. Thank you for the call.
You've joined the law offices.
The law offices of Scramble and caller number whatever we were on there. I keep going back to that person who's like spouse is upgraded, like it's one above, which
that's
I do
interesting
find
working
interesting.
Theory.
Hi, Jury in a Hurry. Spouse, best friend. Yes, no. What do you think?
I'd say yes. You have to be friends with them in order to get along.
Yes.
Super best, though,
best
friends, if you think about
best
it, right?
Best friends.
A yes is a yes.
Friends. I've been best friends with my husband for 16 years.
Aw, well, congratulations on that, and may you have many, many more. Best friends, spouse, equal. Like, it's one of those word puzzles, best friend equals spouse.
Okay,
that's how I see it.
You've got a late surge here, Dancing Eric Hansen.
What do you think, juror? Is a spouse a best friend? Yes or no?
I think it's up to the spouse. If they feel that you need to be their best friend in that situation, then yes. But I would generally err more upon the side of a best friend should be somebody outside of the relationship.
Claire, with that call, you take the victory, or I guess Linda takes the win.
Congratulations, Team Linda! Let's go!
Thank you for listening to the Morning Scramble Podcast.
Catch Claire and Eric live weekday mornings 6 until 10 Central Time on Z102.9. Listen on your radio, on your smart speaker, or stream at KZIA.com.
Okay, have a good day.